Donald Trump has come in like a breath of fresh air in talking to the American people and telling them that, yes, we can be great again. It's very comparable, isn't it?
Yeah, there are some comparisons. I mean, we joined 40 years ago up with a European trade bloc. That's how it was sold to us, that, you know, we would do business without tariffs. It would mean more trade. It would mean more jobs. And there was no threat to our political sovereignty or our independence. And we finished up with most of our laws actually being made in Brussels, not in Westminster. But crucially, we finished up with an open border to 500 million people, any of whom, living anywhere in the rest of the European Union, could at will come into the United Kingdom, get jobs, settle, bring their kids, and access all the public services available to everybody else. And, you know, you can argue about sovereignty, you can argue about democracy, but in the end, the kicker, and the reason we won this referendum, is that we're not against anybody, but we believe that immigration should be controlled, that we should control the numbers, and we should control the quality of people coming in to the country. And I can tell you, as the first person in British politics to stand up and make this argument, that it was irresponsible to have an open door to the whole of Southern and Eastern Europe.
Were you called names like
we
are?
Oh, names? Goodness me. I mean, you know, I've got a list for you. I mean, absolutely everything you would think. I was trying to drag Britain back to the 1930s, that somehow this was neo-Nazism. I mean, you would not believe the levels of abuse that I took from the establishment, from big business, big banks, and the big liberal media. But I just ignored them, because what else could you do in politics?
Sure.
And I began to realize that actually out there, the silent majority of the British people thought we had to get back control of our borders. And I'll tell you this. Since the growth of ISIS, since the growth of these terror attacks, and I mean, just look at the news. Just look at France and Germany, where every single week now we're seeing multiple mini terrorist outrages. So this isn't just about, it isn't just about jobs. It isn't just about wages being undercut. It isn't just about the fact that a country can only cope with a certain number of people. Actually, it gets right to the heart of security. And I think that argument is ultimately what won us the Brexit referendum. And it's those arguments that I think Trump is reaching people with here in the States.
I was talking to one of your mates over here, and he basically told me, we were back there in the back, we were making tea. You had coffee, which I found to be very American today, and he had some tea, by the way.
I know. He's obviously a better Englishman than me, isn't he?
But anyway, we were back there, we were talking about Brexit, and he said, you know, going into it, we were trailing in the polls a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of things to say about that. I mean, firstly, we were trailing in the polls because, you know, the alternative argument hadn't been heard.
Right.
And, you know, it was a minority sport to argue this. But secondly, what I think Brexit shows you is that the polling industry, the pundits, the experts, the people in London and perhaps in this country, in Washington or New York or wherever they may be, actually, they could not accurately predict what would happen in our referendum, because what happened was about 2.5 million people in the UK who normally do not vote, or in many cases had never voted in their lives, went to their local polling stations on June the 23rd to vote for Brexit. And there's no way the professional commentators or the pollsters can read what those people are going to do. So I'd say to people who, you know, are following the polls here in this presidential race very carefully, forget it. The polls do not know what is actually going to happen.
This conservative correlation with Brexit and this support for Donald Trump, it's astonishing how similar it is.
It is similar. I mean, I have to say this to you, though. I mean, I'm being slightly careful on one thing, is that Obama, and this was Prime Minister Cameron's trump card, as it were, is he was going to bring Obama to Britain in the referendum. Obama came over. He talked down to the British people.
Sure.
He said we weren't good enough, basically.
That's what he tells us pretty regularly.
Yeah,
here.
To run our own lives, and that we had to vote to stay part of the European Union. And the British people were really angry. You know, how dare an American president, particularly this one, you know, come to London and tell us what to do. So my position is there are huge similarities between what made Brexit happen and what can help Trump to win. But I do not want to fall into the trap that Obama fell into. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to endorse anybody. I'm telling a story about Brexit, and it's a story that if the grassroots Republicans pick up, and if they understand that what they've got to do is not just sit in their armchairs, they've got to get out, put their walking boots on, deliver leaflets, go out and meet these people mm-hmm. whose communities are being affected. In a sense, what I'm saying is that we mobilized a people's army in the United Kingdom that went out and spoke to everybody and got them down to the polls. The same thing can happen here. Having said all of that, of course, I would not vote for Hillary, even if you paid me.
If when Brexit all happened, and members that maybe weren't of the UKIP party but were similar to the UKIP party, and I'm trying to correlate that to the Republicans that are standing on the sidelines right now, some of them still will not get behind Donald Trump, namely the Bushes.
Yeah.
Which, for me, it just makes no sense. But did you have, were there parts or groups that were similar to UKIP that kind of stood on the sidelines and said, you guys are crazy, this isn't going to happen, you know, just naysayers, I guess?
I think a lot of people in our political class didn't back Brexit publicly because they didn't think Brexit could win. And I think, ironically, one of those was Theresa May, who subsequently has become the Prime Minister. The truth of it is that throughout British politics, the vast majority of our MPs and our members of the European Parliament, the vast majority supported remaining in the European Union. Those of us who were elected politicians backing Brexit were very much in the minority. And it kind of goes to show what has happened to politics. There is a disconnect between a professional political class based in Westminster, and you just got to go 50 miles outside London, and you find attitudes, social attitudes, economic circumstances that are very different. And again, I think there's some similarity here, isn't there? Because I think there is a feeling in many American states that somehow Washington has almost become its own country. Living for its own set of ideas.
I think so, anyway.
And that somehow it's disconnected. So I would say this to you. You know, the fact that the Bushes, the fact that the establishment are not backing the party's nominee doesn't necessarily have to matter. Because there are millions of people out there who never voted for the Bushes, who never voted for the Clintons, who haven't voted for anybody, but who may, if they think in this presidential election they can actually change their lives and their communities, and that's the audience that matters.